For those of you who said Slichas this morning in Bahav, so all the Slichas were a very relevant, a very frightening reading. Let me just read you one line of the Slichas, which will, I think, send a shiver up the spine. Said this morning, just a few minutes ago in the Slichas, I'll read the line and then I'll translate. Shutatnu ba'arba pinois. We searched, we traveled in all four corners of the globe. Trufa lo motzanu. And we did not find any medication, we did not find any healing. Shavnu eilecha b'boishes ponim. So we returned to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'boishes ponim, meaning ashamed. L'shachercha keil be'eis tzoreisenu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should release us in our time of tzora. In one word, corona. There it is. We searched all four corners of the globe. Lo matzanu trufa. Nobody still has a healing. Nobody has a vaccination. Nobody really has a way of getting on top of this. So our only response is, shavnu eilecha, we do tshuva. We come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is exactly what we spoke about in the Tfilavad a couple of weeks ago, that when there's a tzora, and when it's back to the wall, and it really sends home and consolidates that realization that there's no one else to turn to. All four corners, Arba Pines, it says in the Slichas, north, south, east, and west, v'trufa lo motzanu. Nobody could find any type of vaccination. So what do? We turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and ultimately he'll be the one to take us out. So we're up to the Gemara in the bottom of Chof Zayin Omed Aleph. Says the Gemara, Rav, the eighth last line of the Gemara. Rav Ikla Lebei Ganiva. Rav came across Bei Ganiva, the house of Ganiva. Vetzoli, and he davened Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. And he davened the Shabbos Tfilah on Erev Shabbos. Now, we already made mention of this before, because if you remember when we were trying to work out, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbanon. So we quoted this story. You see that Rav made early Shabbos. He davened Maariv early, so apparently he paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara continues the story. V'hava matzli Rabbi Yirmiya ba'aba la'achoyrei the Rav. And Rabbi Yirmiya ba'aba, as we're soon going to see, was the Talmud of Rav. He davened behind Rav. V'siyem Rav. And Rav finished his tefillah. V'loi paske letzeluse de Rabbi Yirmiya. But he did not interrupt the davening of Rabbi Yirmiya. So in other words, Rabbi Yirmiya was standing behind Rav, the Talmud behind the Rebbe. The Talmud, Rabbi Yirmiya, apparently his davening took longer than Rav. So when Rav finished his Shmoneh Esra and wanted to basically back up, he didn't do so. Of course, this is the source of the famous halacha. That's the end of the story. So the Gemara says, Shma Mino Tlas. We hear from this story three things. Shma Mino, firstly, we hear that mispalel odom shol Shabbos, a person can daven his Shabbos tefillah be'erev Shabbos, which is another way of saying Rav Yehuda's opinion. You can daven Maariv early any time after Plaga Mincha. That's halacha number one that we've already discussed, that we can extrapolate from this story. V'shma mino, there's something else that we can learn from over here, that mispalel talmid achoyrei raboi, that a Talmud may daven behind his Rebbe. Why should he not be able to daven behind his Rebbe? Why is that a chiddush bichlal? We'll soon see. Says the Gemara finally, v'shma mino, and we also hear from this story, that osur la'avair, it is osur to pass, keneged hamispalalin, opposite or in front of those people davening. Look at the bottom Rashi, last line of the page. V'loi poske litzeluse, Rav did not interrupt the davening of his Talmud Rav Yirmiyah, kloima. What that means is, loi hifsik bein Rav Yirmiyah ulakoysel v'la'avor lefonov. He did not interfere, he did not get in the way. Presumably Rav was standing in front of a wall, so he had a wall in front of him, he had Rav Yirmiyah behind him, and he didn't move. La'avor lefonov, neither to move in front of him, or even v'leishev bimkoimoi, or even to sit in his seat, he did not budge. Elo, omad al omdoi. He stood erect there and did not move. There is the famous story with Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein, once at the end of davening, wanted to leave his yeshiva, and there was somebody behind him who was davening Shmoneh Esrei, a very, very lengthy Shmoneh Esrei. And Rav Moshe was, as it were, stuck there. 3, 4, 5, 10 minutes. Eventually this person finished Shmoneh Esrei and Rav Moshe was able to leave. And somebody asked Rav Moshe, where were you? We were waiting for you so long outside the yeshiva. And he said, what should I do? There was a wall. I was trapped in front of a wall. In other words, when Rav Moshe saw this halacha, it was non-negotiable. As far as Rav Moshe was concerned, if somebody is standing behind you, then that's a wall. So just like you can't be upset or angry or try and negotiate with a wall, if somebody is davening Shmoneh Esrei, you cannot move. It is important to point out that there is a discussion as to why exactly are you not allowed to move in front of somebody davening. There are different ways of explaining. Some explain that it's just a practical thing, because if you move whilst the person is davening, that will disturb his concentration. Others explain, no, that's not the reason. The reason is because as long as the person is davening, the Shechina is, as it were, with him. So therefore, you may not back up into his divine presence. It's not covered for the Shechina, as it were, to interfere. Now, what would be if the person behind you is davening with his eyes closed? Are you allowed to back up? So l'chayra, it would depend on what we just said. If the reason is not to interfere his concentration, well, that wouldn't be a problem over here because his eyes are closed. He's not going to see you anyway. But if the issue is you mustn't back up into where the Shechina is residing in front of him, then it would be awesome. There is another very famous shaila, and this is a very, very common question. What's the halacha if you are standing in front of your friend? And your friend is standing in front of somebody else, a third person. So you've got a whole train over here. Reuven in the front, Shimon in the middle, Levi at the back. Reuven in front has finished his Shmoneh Esrei. He turns around and he'd like to back up. Shimon is in exactly the same situation. Shimon has finished his Shmoneh Esrei, or not quite finished, he's waiting to do Eisa Shalom. But he can't do so because Levi behind him is still davening. So obviously Shimon, who's the middle man, he cannot back up in front of Levi. But can Reuven back up in front of Shimon? This also might depend on what we just said. If the issue is ruining his concentration, it's not an issue over here. There's no concentration. Shimon's already finished his Shmoneh Esrei. But if it's because the Shechina is still there, well then the Shechina is still there because he hasn't quite finished his davening because he's waiting to do Eisa Shalom. So there's a number of issues We need to know, but basically we're machmir for both opinions. Says the Gemara, fourth bottom line, Mesayeya Lei. This would be a proof, the Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. This story backs up the statement issued by Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Dama Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Asur La'avoir Keneged Hamispalalim. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is the source of this statement, and he said that yes, you must not move in front of the Mispalalim. And this story backs that up. By the way, famous question, Moshe Zelig, this is Negev for you. What happens if a Kohen needs to leave because he's got to go and do Birkas Kohanim?
I deal with that issue every Shabbos. I'm trapped on one. There's someone on the right. I can't go to the right. Sometimes I'm trapped on the left too.
So this is a big Shiloh. So the mice of the poskim are makel. But I must tell you that, if I may say delicately, it does upset me sometimes. If somebody wants to daven a long Shmoneh Esra, good for him, tremendous. But then the Chayyur has got no right to do so at the expense of other people. So very often, and that's mamish the worst, and I've seen this, and it's mamish a mitzvah habor ba'aveira, somebody comes late to davening. So he stands by the front door of the shul and starts davening Shmoneh Esra, which means that nobody now can come in or out of the shul. And any person who does is walking in front of him. His whole Shmoneh Esra is a mitzvah habor ba'aveira. But even if not when somebody's coming late, if somebody knows that he's about to daven a long Shmoneh Esra, then I would humbly suggest, so then make sure you move to the side or you move to the front. And there's no reason why somebody else should have to lose out because you want to daven a long Shmoneh Esra.
I've got another situation where basically people, similar to what you said about the people coming late, where basically somebody is going to come late and he'll just, you know, he's catching up, and then
right,
we're already halfway through Shmoneh Esrei, and he's decided to start at that point in time, and he's standing right behind you.
Right, that's even more upsetting sometimes. You're stuck in front of somebody who's not davening along Shmoneh Esrei, but he just began late because he just rolled out of bed. So that's one has to be considerate of other people. If somebody, like you said, is either late or he wants to daven a lengthy Shmoneh Esrei, then you should be considerate of other people. I once had an interesting shaila, and I must tell you, I'm not sure until today what the correct thing was. I remember it was one of my first years just after I got married, and I davened, we were living in Yerushalayim at the time, and I davened in a yeshiva on Rosh Hashanah. And I don't remember exactly, but I don't think I davened a particularly long Shmoneh Esra. But what I do know is that the bocher who was standing in front of me davened a particularly short Shmoneh Esra. And about every 7 seconds, he turned round with this big groan and looked at me and, oh gosh, what, he's still at it? And I'm still stuck. And it was a very strange feeling. So whether he was right or wrong, it doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he clearly wants to sit down or move around, and he can't because I'm davening Shmoneh Esra. So what should I do now? Should I cut short my Shmoneh Esra? Should I try and speed up so this fellow can sit down? Or perhaps not. I mean, he davened a particularly short Shmoneh Esra. If you daven an average length and I'm decided to be very, very ma'arich, so then like we said before, it's all very nice. You want to be ma'arich, why should somebody else lose out? But I don't think that was the case over here. I was davening, I think, a fairly average length for Yom Ha'Neiraim. But he was particularly quick and he was turning around tutting and groaning and, oh, and then either way, I can tell you, it was very hard to concentrate on the rest of the Shmoneh Esra, but it's not an easy situation. Says the Gemara. So we have this statement in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi was the one who says that you mustn't move in front of the Mispalalin. So here we have, says the Gemara, well, the story that we just mentioned clearly backs up that notion. That's why Rabbi Yirmiah was not prepared to move in front of Rabbi Yirmiah. Rav was not prepared to move in front of Rabbi Yirmiah, who was standing behind him. Says the Gemara on the third bottom line, Eini? Question mark. Is this really true? Vaho, Rav Ami, v'Rav Asi, both Rav Ami and Rav Asi, Cholfi. What does Cholfi mean? Cholfi means they did move. How can you tell me you're not allowed to move in front of Mispalalim? But apparently we have another story that Rav Asi and Rav Ami, they did move. They did move in front of Mispalalim. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ami v'Rav Asi, chutz la'arba amois u'decholfi. They moved because they were not within the dalad amois of the Mispalil. And under those circumstances, the Issa was never said. The Issa is only ever said if you're within dalad amos of the Mispalil. So there's lots of fascinating shailas. What happens if there's a table in between you? Is that considered a mechitza? Is it different rishus? Etc., etc., etc. Says the Gemara, V'Reb Yirmiya Heichid Heichi Ovid Hochi. How indeed did Reb Yirmiya do so? Remember we said before that Reb Yirmiya was the Talmid, Rav was the Rebbe, and we learned from this story that apparently a Talmid is allowed to daven behind the Rebbe. Now, we didn't understand why is that a chiddush at all. So we'll soon see. The Gemara asks, how indeed could he do this? How did Rav Yirmiya, the Talmid, daven behind Rav, the Rebbe? Why is that an issue? Says the Gemara, V'ho Omar Rav Yehuda Omar Rav. Rav Yehuda said, in the name of Rav, in fact, Lo'oilom al yispalel odom. A person should never daven loy keneged rabbi. As Rashi explains, it means not next to his rabbi. Veloy achoyrei rabbi. And neither behind your rabbi. So we have a clear statement in the name of Rav himself that you do not daven in the presence, in the immediate presence of your Rebbe, either whether it is to the side or behind. And that precisely is what Rabbi Yirmiya did. So what's going on? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Keneged Rabbi, you should not be davening, says Rashi, Eitzel Rabbi, next to his Rebbe. Umare, because that way you are demonstrating ki'ilu heim shovim, as if you're your equal. If you daven next to him without giving precedence or kedima to your Rav, then the Talmud is showing that as I'm an equal to my Rebbe. So what would we have thought? Okay, so I won't daven next to my Rebbe. Obviously, I shouldn't daven in front of my Rebbe, that's even worse. That's not just showing that we're equal, that's showing that I'm superior. I obviously can't do that. So what would we have thought? So the best place for the Talmud to daven is behind the Rebbe. And that way he's giving deference to the Rebbe. Says Rashi, no. Achoyrei Rabboi, Nami Yuarohu. Yuarohu means gaiva. It's considered gaiva even though the fact that you're behind the Rebbe. So you might have thought that's the opposite of gaiva. That's very modest. You've displayed humility. No, but still, the very fact that you're in close proximity to the Rebbe, that itself is still an act of gaiva. If you looked at Tosfos, look at the very top Tosfos in the Omid. Tosfos says, V'lo yachoyrei rabbi, pirish Rashi, mishum you are wrong. Rashi explains that the issue is you are wrong because of gaiva. But the Yesh Mefaresh, some explain, Shenire Kemishtachave L'Rabboi. Completely different reason. The reason why you should not stand behind your Rebbe is because if you do so, then when you bow down, it appears as if you're actually bowing down to your Rebbe. And you might ask, well, if that's the case, how does anybody stand behind anybody else? And the obvious answer is no. Under ordinary circumstances, you wouldn't say that it looks like Reuven's bowing down to Shimon or Shimon's bowing down to Levi, because why would he? But over here, the Talmud and the Rebbe, so there's certainly room to think, oh, he's got so much covered for his Rebbe as if he's bowing down to him. Chas v'shalom. So therefore, we have an alternative explanation for not standing behind the Rebbe. So next to the Rebbe, it's to show that you're not an equal. Behind the Rebbe is either because of Gaiva or because of this concern that it looks like you're actually bowing down to the Rebbe. But either way, we're stuck now. We don't understand how on earth did Rabbi Yirmiyah daven behind Rav. Whatever the reason is, clearly you're not allowed to daven behind the Rebbe. Says the Gemara, even before we answer, the Gemara continues with the question. Top line, V'tanya, and furthermore, we have learned in a Braisa, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer. Rabbi Eliezer says, very scary thing. Hamispalel achoire Rebbe. If somebody davens behind his Rebbe, v'hanoisein shalom l'rabbi. Or even if he greets the Rebbe. Now, what does that mean? Not to have to greet the Rebbe? How can that be? So look at Rashi immediately on the second line. Rashi says, shalom l'rabbi, kashar kol odom. That's what it means. Obviously, you're allowed and you're supposed to greet the Rebbe, but don't greet him in the same way as you would greet other people. In other words, he just says, quote unquote, Shalom Aleichem. That's the way you'd greet everybody else. That's not the way you should greet the Rebbe. For Loi Omar Loi, and he didn't say to him, Shalom Aleichem, Rebbe. So that's what it means. If you greet your Rebbe, Rashi explains, meaning, if you greet your Rebbe in the same way that you would greet everybody else, that's the issue over here. So back into the Gemara. Again, Hamispalel Achoyri Rabboi, number one. V'hanoisein Sholem L'Rabboi, if you greeted his Rebbe in the same way as you would greet other people, that's number two. V'hamachzir Sholem L'Rebbe. And so too, if you return greetings to the Rebbe, meaning the Rebbe said shalom to you, and you responded, and again, presumably it means, again, you responded to him in the way that you'd respond to, oh, hi, how are you doing? Without saying, shalom olecho, Rebbe. V'hacholek al yeshivosei. Now, what does that mean, v'hacholek al yeshivosei?
Shel rabo.
Literally translated, and he disagrees with the yeshiva of his Rebbe. Right. Presumably it means he disagrees with the whole mahalach of the Rebbe. Finally, the ha'omer davar shelo shoma mepi rabbi. Unbelievable. Or even if somebody quotes, says something, not that he ever heard from the Rebbe. Simply translated, it sounds like Talmud should only ever be saying things that he heard from his Rebbe. Either way, if you violate any of the above, very, very scary, goyreim l'shchino shetistalik miYisrael. That person has caused the shchino to be removed from Klal Yisrael. This, of course, reminds us of the famous Mishnah in Ovos, Moira Rabach, Kamoire Shomayim. One should fear his Rebbe like he does heaven. And that's what the Gemara is saying, that if there is this zilzal, a lack of covet for the Rebbe, then it's not just that you're insulting the Rebbe, it's not just a slight to the Rebbe's covet, but really it's a slight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's covet. And that's why you're causing the Shekhinah to be removed. Now, have a look briefly at Tosfos, second Tosfos. We're still in the middle of a question, but let's have a look at Tosfos. V'hanoisein shalom l'rabboi v'amachzir shalom. If you either greeted or returned the greeting of the Rebbe, pirush, kashar b'nei odom. Like other people, this is what Rashi told us. She'einoi oimer, because he never said, Shalom Olecho, Rebbe. He didn't add that keyword Rebbe. That's exactly the way that Rashi learned. In other words, there's no problem whatsoever in greeting the Rebbe. But if it's done in a way as if your Rebbe is just your average Joe of the street, then that's the issue over here. Says Tosfos a very interesting thing. V'hainu damrinon. And this is what we always say, kedei she'elas talmid l'rav. What does that mean? We have a world-famous principle that we've all heard of thousands of times, toich kedei dibur. Toich kedei dibur. If you counted Sfiras HaOmer last night, and instead of saying 28, you said 29, and then you immediately corrected yourself, then that's fine. What's considered immediate? So here's the answer. Toich kedei dibur. Toich kedei dibur means the time it would take to speak. What does that mean, to speak? To say what? So the Gemara says, the time it would take for the Rebbe to greet, for the Talmud to greet his Rebbe. And how many words is that? Three words. Shalom, Orecho, Rebbe. So in all of Kol HaTorah Kula, whenever we speak about somebody saying A, and then immediately afterwards he picks it up and he said B, it has to be within the time frame of saying the three words, Shalom, Olecho, Rebbe. That's called Toich Kedei Dibur, the very famous principle of Toich Kedei Dibur. Says Tosfos, Inami, maybe, alternatively, Lechatchila Ka'omar. Maybe that's just in the first instance of a Talmud Chover de Shori Kecholhani de la Kamon. We're going to see in a moment that there is a Talmud and there's what's called a Talmud Chover. What's a Talmud Chover? A prize Talmud. Talmud Chochem. And he has different rules. So if he has different rules, maybe he's allowed to greet the Rebbe differently as well. In other words, what was the question in our Gemara? In our Gemara, the question was, how did Rav Yirmiya stand behind Rav? You're not allowed to stand behind your Rebbe. We're going to see, in fact, let's see it immediately in the Gemara. First word on the line, Shani Rav Yirmiya Ba'aba, the Talmud Chover Hoya. He was a Talmud Chover. He wasn't your regular Talmud. So a regular Talmud indeed cannot stand behind the Rebbe. But a prize Talmud may. Now one second. The prize Talmud, like Rabbi Yirmiya, who's allowed to stand behind the Rebbe, does that mean that he's an exception to all of the list that we just said, or only to this particular halacha? We just said that there's a number of things that a Talmud can't do. Can't stand behind his Rebbe, can't greet his Rebbe, can't disagree with the Rebbe. So he said, with regard to standing behind the Rebbe, it would be different if you are a Talmud Chover. But it's not clear in the Gemara, does this Talmud Chover get an exception with regard to the other rules as well? And that's what Tosfos is discussing. And he's saying, Inami, maybe, Hahu lechatchila koma. Maybe Shalom Olecho Rebbe is lechatchila in the normal case of a regular Talmud. But maybe of a Talmud Chover, the Shari Kecholhani de la Kamon. But maybe a Talmud Chover would be different. And he does not need to say Shalom Olecho Rebbe. And he's allowed to say Shalom Olecho. Which would obviously therefore impinge on the whole halacha of Toich Kedei Dibur. Because Toich Kedei Dibur would suddenly mean that it's not Shalom Olecho Rebbe, it's merely Shalom Olecho. That's a discussion. Okay. Back into the Gemara. We now move on to a very, very, very fundamental sugya. A very, very fundamental sugya. And we'll see there's very, very big nafkaminas l'alocha l'maisa. We said, just remind ourselves, that Rav made early Shabbos. This is the source of the whole concept of making early Shabbos. Says the Gemara, Vahainu de Ka'omar Lei Rabbi Yirmiyah Ba'abo Lerav. This is what Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rav. Remember, Rabbi Yirmiyah has seen that his Rebbe Rav has made early Shabbos, or at least has davened Ma'ariv. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rav the following question, fundamental question. In fact, it's a two-word question. And he said to him, Mi bodlas? What does that mean, mi bodlas? Bodlas is like from the root of the word, like havdalah, separate. Havdalah is also hey, base, dalad, lamad, havdalah, boidil. Did you separate? What does that mean, did you separate? Says Rashi on the third line at the top. Vahainu de komarlei, oisoi hayoim shehispalil rav shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos. On that day, that story that we described before, the Rav Davan Mariv early. So, Omar Lei Rab Yirmiyah said, Mi Bodlet Min Hamalocha? Did you separate from doing Malocha? Hoil Vekibalta Olecha Shabbos Bitfiloscha? Were you Makabal Shabbos in your Tfilah? So here we arrive, Moirai V'Raboisai, at a phenomenal Yesod. Rav davened Mariv early. There's no question about that. That was the story. So what was Rav Yirmiyah's question to him? Yes, you davened Mariv. Does that equal Kabbalas Shabbos? And that was his two-word question. Mi bodlet? Did you therefore refrain from davening? From a melacha, or perhaps not. Perhaps you daven Mariv, but you aren't Makabal Shabbos yet. Or were you Makabal Shabbos in your tefillah? L'ch'oira, that's the shaila of the Gemara. L'ch'oira, there is what to discuss, but l'ch'oira, that's the shaila of the Gemara. Mi bodlet, did you refrain from doing melacha following your davening? In other words, was your davening Kabbalas Shabbos? Now, let's press pause for a moment because we need to lay down some very, very, very important principles. Essentially, if we were to ask ourselves a question, at which point can you not do melacha? L'chaira, the answer would be as soon as Shabbos arrives. When does Shabbos arrive? At nightfall. We don't know when nightfall is. Fine, so at Shkia, which is at least a Sofik, as it's now Ben Ashmoshes, don't do Melacha. That L'chaira will be the answer. We know, however, that you either can, or maybe even you must, be Mekabel Shabbos before the onset of Shabbos. What do I mean that you can or you must? There is a Machlokes Rishonim, whether there is a mitzvah called Tosfos Shabbos. The Rambam famously holds there is no such concept. There is no such concept. If you ask the Rambam, do I have to be Mekabel Shabbos prior to the actual onset of Shabbos, he would tell you, no, you do not. But even the Rambam agrees that if you do, you can be. You don't have to, but you can. We disagree. La halacha, we paskan, that you must be Mekabel Shabbos. In fact, it's a mitzvah do'iraisa. That mitzvah is called Tosfos Shabbos, although the Rishonim tell us it's unclear if there is any shiur. Maybe there isn't. And if there is, what is the shiur? How long before Shabbos do you have to be Mekabel Shabbos on yourself? 5 seconds, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 2 minutes, not clear. So either way, again, either you can, or perhaps even you must be Mekabel Shabbos on yourself prior to the onset of Shabbos. So, of course, the $64 million question is, how do you do that? What must I do to be Mekabel Shabbos? So the simplest way, L'chaira, is to simply declare, I hereby accept upon myself Kedushas Shabbos, period. The Mishnah Berurah discusses, is it enough to just to think it, or do you have to verbalize it? So certainly, L'halacha, we want to be machmir, and we should verbalize it. So this is what you should do. After Mincha, on Erev Shabbos, you should say, I hereby makabel on myself Kedushas Shabbos. It is very famous. This is not our discussion for the moment. The world famous opinion of the Bahag. The Bahag is Mechadesh and Hilchas Chanukah, that when you light candles on Erev Shabbos, that is Kabbalah Shabbos. Even though you never actually said or even thought that I'd be Mekabel Shabbos. The very fact that you lit the candles is Kabbalah Shabbos. Do we paskin like that or not? It's a phenomenally large machlokes Rishonim. Almost all Rishonim disagree with the Bahag. However, as we all know, the Ramah tells us that the Ashkenazi minhag is that women who light candles are Mekabel Shabbos. So we all know this. The siren goes 40 minutes or so, or 30 or 20 minutes before Shabbos actually sets in. The women light candles. From then on, they cannot do a malacha. There is a discussion. Can they make a tanai? That's not our shaila at the moment. But the Mishnah Berurah clearly says that this minhag only pertains to women. But a man who would light, if, for example, a woman is not lighting, or a man doesn't have a wife and he's by himself, when he lights candles, that me'ikah la'alocha is not Kabbalah Shabbos. Why? Because the majority opinion is not like the Bahag. Kabbalah Shabbos does not set in with Adlokas Neiris. There is a custom, for whatever reason, the Ashkenazi women accept to themselves a custom that Adlokas Neiris equals Kabbalah Shabbos, but not for men. So we've so far seen that the classic way to be Mekabel Shabbos is simply to declare so. I hereby Mekabel on myself Shabbos. The Bahag is discussing, what about Hadlokas Neiris? What we now need to discuss, we're going to clock out and then clock in, is this is now the third way. I'm not declaring I'm Mekabel Shabbos. I'm not lighting candles, but rather I am davening. Right. Let's press pause over here and then we'll clock back in.
Ready.
So this is now the discussion. As we mentioned, you can be Mekabel Shabbos either by declaring clearly that I'd like to be Mekabel Shabbos. Hadlokas Neiros is a whole big discussion. What we're discussing is neither of the above, merely by davening Maariv. Merely by davening Maariv. And L'chaira, this is what Rabbi Yirmiyah was asking his Rebbe, Rav, me bodlet? Did you refrain from doing malacha after your davening? In other words, is davening the equivalent of being Mekabel Shabbos? And why would it be? So either one can understand it in two ways. Either it's a Kabbalah Shabbos because you talk about Shabbos in the tefillah, and you say, after all, Baruch Ato Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Or even without that, perhaps the mere fact that you've davened Maariv means that you've demonstrated that you consider it night. And if you consider it night, then obviously it's Shabbos, even if you don't mention the words of Shabbos. So either way, that was his question. The fact that you davened Maariv, does that mean that you now, it's now considered Shabbos for you, and me bodlet, you'd have to refrain from doing malach? Says the Gemara, Omale, so he responded, in. Badilna. Indeed, I refrain from doing malacha. But veloy omar, mi bodil mar, period. When Rabbi Yirmiyah asked this question, he didn't say, Mar would be talking to his Rebbe in third person. He didn't say to Rebbe, did the Rebbe refrain from the Malacha? What did he say? Mi bodalto, did you refrain from Malacha? So what do you see over here? You clearly see that he was a Talmud Chover. Because a regular Talmud would not have said to his Rebbe, or me bodlet, did you? You don't say the word you to the Rebbe. Rather, you speak in third person and you say, or me bodil mar, says Rashi, first narrow line. The loy omar me bodil mar, he didn't add that magic word mar. Shma mino, so I hear from there, Talmud chover haver lay. Chover, by the way, should not be translated as friend. Chover does not mean friend, but rather Talmud Chochem. So you see that this Talmud was not just any regular Talmud. He was a Talmud Chochem, and therefore he allowed himself to address the Rebbe differently. And if he addressed the Rebbe differently, what does that mean, differently? I.e., he didn't say, Umi Bodil Mar, did the Rebbe separate? Rather, he said, did you separate? Okay. Now we're going to launch full steam into this whole Kabbalah Shabbos discussion. Very, very, very important discussion. Says the Gemara, Umi Bodil, did he indeed refrain from doing Malacha after Mariv? Or in other words, does that really mean that Mariv heralds the onset of Shabbos and it's considered Kabbalah Shabbos? Is that really true? The Ha'omar Rebbe Ovin. But Rebbe Ovin once said, Pam Achas Hispalel Rebbe. Not Rav, this is now Rebbe, Rebbe Yehuda Anossi. Rebbe Ovin told us that on one occasion, Rebbe Davin Shel Shabbos, the Erev Shabbos, okay, which means again he Davin Mariv early, and guess what happened next? V'nichnas lemerchas, following which he went into the merchas, into the bathhouse, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. V'yotza v'shonolon pirkin, and he went out and he sat down to learn his perek. Va'adayin loichoshchon. It wasn't yet nightfall, obviously. So what's going on? How can you tell me that Mariv is considered Kabbalah Shabbos? And yet here we have a story that Rebbe also daven Mariv, following which he went into the Merchatz. Now, it's important to know, what exactly is the Issa to go in the Merchatz in the first place? It's not one of the Lamates Melochas. Essentially, going into the Merchatz, not only is it not a Melocha, it's not even a Melocha Midrabanon. So why is it also to do? We know most activities that are prohibited on Shabbos are either also min HaTorah, they're considered a Melocha, or they are also Midrabanon because they are an extension of the Melocha. It's as if it is cooking, it is as if you are building, etc., etc. Going into the bathhouse, why is that also on Shabbos? The answer is that there was a gezeira introduced by Chazal at a particular point in history when they saw that people were going into the bathhouse on Shabbos, which essentially is no problem whatsoever. If you're allowed to wash your hands and your face, why can't you wash your whole goof? Problem was there were people who were being mechalal Shabbos. And they were actually heating up the water on Shabbos. Ah, that's definitely a malacha. And what were they saying? No, don't worry. We heated up the water before Shabbos. And it's not true. So Chazal outlawed going into the bathhouse on Shabbos. But again, not because going into the bath is considered a malacha. Even midrabanon, it's not considered a malacha. It was a gezeira in order to circumvent the chashash that people would heat up the water. Obviously, that is a malacha on Shabbos. You're cooking up the water. Says the Gemara, so either way, going into the merchatz is asur on Shabbos. So how could Rebbe having davened Shabbos, davened Maariv, how can you go into the Merachatz? Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, we have to know that there was an extension to this Gezeira. What was the extension to this Gezeira? You weren't even allowed to go into the Beis HaMerchatz just to steam off, to use it, as it were, as a sauna. Even though you're not going into the water at all. That was called Lahazia. Lahazia, literally translated, means to sweat. Says the Gemara, Omar Rava, Ha'ud Nichnas Lahazia. In this particular story, Rebbe never went into the water. He just entered the Beis HaMerchatz in order to sweat. V'koidem Gezeira Hava. And it was prior to that Gezeira with regard to being Mazia. Therefore, there was no Issa at the time that that particular story happened. Have a look at Rashi. Lebeis HaMerchatz. Sal Kedatoch. We know that whenever Rashi says Sal Kedatoch, it's just a Havamina. It's going to change in the Maskana. Sal Kedatoch. La'acha shegozru al Hazeah. We thought that this story took place when? After the Gzeira of Zeah, Va'ala Rechitza, V'Shabbos, Kedomina Masechta Shabbos, Perakira Shesikua. We thought that this story with Rebbe took place post Gzeira. And that was our kasha. What exactly was the question? Alma, you see that Afal Gav Detzoli, comma, even though that he had davened, Loi bodil mi'isurei Shabbos. Nonetheless, he did not refrain from the Isurei Shabbos. And that was our question. So how can you tell me that once you daven Ma'ariv, you refrain from doing malachas? Here we have a story that Rabbi Lechaira did something that was asa on Shabbos because we thought this was post the Gezeira. And what's the answer? Omar Rava, says Rashi, nichnas lahazia. He entered in order to sweat, as it were, machmas choim, Beis HaMerchatz, as a result of the heat of the Beis HaMerchatz, but veloi nosan olav mayim. He didn't put any water on himself. So he definitely didn't violate the rechitza gzeira. If anything, it was just being mazia. Okay, but how was that muta? Says Rashi, v'koidem gzeira. Ad shaloi gozru al hazeah. This was at the time that they had not yet decreed about doing zeah. Says Rashi, b'chol duchta, many, many places you will find this phrase, da omrinon, we always say the following phrase, k'da omar rova lahaziah. As Rava talks about maziah, mehocha omrinon, this is the source. Okay, that's not so much our issue. So either way, the story of Rav and the story with Rebbe, everything so far makes sense. Essentially, when you daven Maariv, that's Kabbalah Shabbos, and you have to be boidel. Boidel means you have to separate yourself from doing malacha. If that's the case, why did Rebbe enter the bathhouse? The answer is he didn't do any malacha. All he went to was to enjoy the heat of the bathhouse, although that's also on Shabbos, but that's only after the Gzeira. The story of Rebbe took place prior to the Gzeira. Okay, now we're going to...
But what about the issue of Marasayin here?
There was no Marasayin. It's a good question. Chazal only decreed Marasayin in certain places. Not everything that looks like an Issa did Chazal necessarily decree Marasayin. Now, just before we close, we need to just point out one small point. And that is... Reb Yirmiyah asked his Rebbe, and he said to him, tell me, did you separate? In other words, was your davening Kabbalah Shabbos? And he said to him one word, yes. So it's Shabbos. In other words, we're learning from over here a tremendous chiddush, that there is a way of being Makabal Shabbos, not by declaring it Shabbos, not by lighting candles, merely by davening Maariv. Now, if I were to ask you a question, once you daven Maariv and it becomes Shabbos, so obviously you cannot do any malachas of Shabbos. Are you allowed to do drabonons, however, or is everything outlawed? L'chayra, we would all say, you can't split Shabbos in half. If you be mekabel Shabbos, then it's all the halachas. You cannot violate the deraisas, you cannot violate the rabbonons. L'chayra, we have a raya to that from our Gemara. What's the raya from our Gemara? Because what was the Gemara's question? The Gemara's question was, if you've really been mekabel Shabbos, how on earth could Rebbe go into the Merchatz? One second. Everybody agrees that Merchatz is only an Issa Drabonon at worst. Maybe Drabonon's a Mutta after Maariv. So what do you see from the Gemara? That we're not distinguishing whatsoever. If you're Makabal Shabbos, you're Makabal Shabbos. It's either all or nothing. Then we understand the Gemara's question. If he davened Maariv, it therefore became Shabbos for him, which means he wasn't allowed to do malochas min ha-toiro, nor was he allowed to do drabonons. And that was the question, so how did he go into the Merchatz? The answer was, fine, it wasn't yet osa, that gzeira hadn't been introduced. But essentially, we learn from our Gemara over here, that after Maariv, it becomes Shabbos, l'chol dinei Shabbos. Okay, we're going to hold it over here. Be'ezras Hashem, Yisborach, we will continue on Sunday. If anybody's interested, there'll be a parasha share, I hope, Be'ezras Hashem, tonight, 8:30. I hope they'll send out, somebody will send out the Zoom details.
I'll speak to Avram and let him see if he'll set it up for us again.
Fine. Okay, then. All the best, everybody.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you, man.